Now, we're going to do something different this morning. As you know, last week we looked at some things dealing with that man named Simeon, and we'll see him this morning in the church service as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 is where we're going to be, and you might say, that doesn't sound like anything to do with the Christmas message. Well, it really doesn't, but we're going to see it. So turn there, and we're thinking about, of course, the birth of Jesus Christ, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And as we think about Christmas, we want to think about God's gift to us. God has given to us his Son, Jesus Christ. Boy, it's amazing when we think about that. We think about Christmas, we think about gifts. Let's do this. Let's start with a prayer, and then we'll talk about 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you, Lord, for each one that has taken the time to come. Lord, we know the weather has been hard and it's cold, and we just thank you that the roads were so good, at least around here, so that we could make it. We pray, Lord, that many of our people will be able to come today and worship our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for a great morning. Lord, we ask you that as we look at 2 Corinthians and we think about the birth of our Savior, Lord, that at this time of the year, that all of us will have opportunities in which we can share with others the real meaning of Christmas, how that the baby born in Bethlehem indeed is the Savior of the world. So, Lord, we just ask you to teach us as we look at 2 Corinthians. May we have a great morning as we worship our Savior, Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, it is that time of the year. It's Christmas time. People think about peace on earth and goodwill, and people think about gifts. But you remember what Jesus said? When you think about gifts, anybody's saying, oh, what am I going to get this person? What are they going to get me? What am I going to do this? What did Jesus say? Jesus said, he told this great truth, it is better to what? It's better to give than receive. And you know, you think about this, and we've talked about this before. When you're young, when you're younger, you, especially when you're a child, you're looking forward to Christmas and you're saying, what am I going to get? What am I going to get? What am I going to get? That's what you think about Christmas. When you get older, you think not about what you're going to get for Christmas, but what you can give. Because as you grow older, you learn that it is more blessed to give than receive. And it's the same way in our Christian lives. When you're a brand new Christian, you're thinking about what's God got for me? What's God? And then as you get older, you begin to realize, what can you do for other people? What, how can you touch lives? Well, as we grow older, when we start giving gifts, we can't wait for people to open their gifts, and we see that look on their face. This morning, we're going to look at God's gift to us, and that's the gift of his Son. Now, let's think about it. When we think about God's gift, we think about God loving the world. And you think about Christmas, we think about Christmas passages. Where, if I said to you, where would you go in the Bible to find the Christmas story? You'd go to Luke, Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 2. Where else would you go? Matthew, Matthew chapter 1, Matthew chapter 2. Those are famous places, right? In fact, this morning in church service, we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 2. But let me tell you some places that deal with the birth of Christ that you might not think of. In fact, I was listening yesterday, while I was working out, this TV said, on this program said about the birth of Christ, and they were talking about the Gospels, and they said only two of the Gospels give the birth of Christ. Is that true? That's wrong. Where else could you go to find the birth of Christ in one of the Gospels? Now, it's not in Mark. We know that. We already talked about Luke and Matthew, so where would you go? John. And where in John gives the birth of Jesus Christ? Exactly. John 1:14, the Word became flesh. How about Galatians 4:4? How about that one? In the fullness of time, God brought forth his Son, born of a woman, born under law. See, most people wouldn't say, let's go to Galatians 4:4 for the Christmas story, but it's there. Well, this morning, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 for the Christmas story. And we don't always think about that. As we look at this one verse, we see the whole idea of a gift. Now, let's think about a gift for just a second. If I said to you, I will give you $5 if you'll wash my car, is that a gift? No, no, because you got to do something for it. But if I said, hey, here's $5, have a great time. For Susie, here's $2. Susie, have a great time. You know, but if we said that, a gift costs nothing, right? I mean, you don't have to do anything for it. When we think about God's gift to us, it's Jesus Christ. And God sent his only begotten Son into the world. And regardless, listen to this, regardless of whether a person accepts and trusts in Jesus Christ or not, God has given the gift of his Son. Now, when we think about God's gift, we usually think about it this way. Look at this. John 3:16. God so loved the world. Who what? He gave. Who gave? God who? God the Father gave the Son. How about Romans 5:8? God demonstrated his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Who's God there? It's the Father. Galatians 4:4, at the fullness of time, God brought forth his Son. Who sent forth the Son? God the Father. So most of the time, when we think about the birth of Christ and we think about sending Jesus into the world, we think of from the Father side. But there's a Christ side that we may not have thought about. Philippians chapter 2, that the Son left the glories of heaven to become a human being, to become a man, so he would die for us. Jesus Christ said, no one takes my life. I do what? I lay it down. I take it back up. He came. He did it all. So here's what I want to do. I want us to look from the Christ side this morning at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, and I want to raise three questions for us. We're going to talk about what caused the gift, what was the gift, and what is the result of the gift. Look at the verse. All we want to do is just verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. I know that's unusual because we don't just usually pick a verse. We always go through the passage and we look at it in its context. But here's Paul writing to the Corinthians, and here's what he says. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he were rich, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Now, if you read that, and if you're not watching carefully, you may not think this is the Christmas story, but in this passage, he gives the Christmas story, and we're going to think of those three questions. What caused the gift? What was the gift? And what is the result of the gift? Let's start with the very first question. What caused the gift? Notice how it starts. For you know the what? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. What brought about the gift? The whole gift of this Son? It was the grace of God. The gift of Christ was freely given, not earned, not deserved in any way, shape, or form. It's a gift. By the way, the word grace can also, it is very close in the Greek, the word for grace and the word for gift sometimes are even used interchangeably. You could translate it this way, for you know the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is the gift? What is the gift? The Son, all right. So he says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, it's all grace. Jesus Christ did not look down and say, people are trying so hard. They're trying so hard, and they want to get to me. They want to get to the Father. They just don't know what they're doing. They're trying so hard. Is that what Jesus saw? People are trying so hard? Are we trying hard to get to God? What's the answer? Answer's no. All we like sheep have gone astray, each one our own way. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's not one who seeks after God. Fallen mankind's not looking for God. It's God looking for us. It is God who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We saw in the fall of Adam and Eve, when Adam and Eve sinned, where did they go? They hid. Were they looking for God? Who came looking for them? God did. When we've fallen and fallen short of the glory of God, and we're going our own way, who comes looking for us? God does. And so I want you to think about it, that this gift is undeserved, it's freely earned, and when you think about this gift, he says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's amazing, the gift of Christ was totally freely given, not earned or deserved. And notice how he says it. He's writing to the Corinthians, and he says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me just tell you something. In the Greek, there are several words for know. There's a word that means you know by experience. That's the word right here. He actually says, you know by experience the grace of God. Why? Because they had believed in Jesus Christ. They understood about the Savior. They knew about God's grace. He's writing to these believers in Corinth and says, you know about the grace of God. You know about the grace of Jesus Christ. You know about how the fact that he came and died and paid for sin and all of those things. Notice the title. For you know the grace of our what? Lord Jesus Christ. Now when you think about it, what's his personal name? What's his personal name? Jesus. It means what? Savior. The word Lord is a word that has an idea of deity. And the word of Christ, anybody remember what Christ means? It means what? Anointed one. It's the same as the word Messiah or Mashiach. Mashiach is the Old Testament. Christos is the New Testament. So we got Messiah and Christ. He says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior who is God, who is the Anointed One, who is the great prophet, priest, king, all of those things that we've talked about before. So here's the very first question. What caused the gift? God's grace. his unmerited favor to us, Jesus Christ. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's Jesus who brought about this gift through his grace. Okay? Now here's number two. What was the gift? And we're going to see that the gift is the Son, Jesus Christ. The gift is a person. When you talk about salvation, when you talk about how God has so loved the world, you have to remember that salvation is not in what we do. It's not in a ritual. It's not in religion. It's not in the church. Salvation is in the person of Jesus Christ. The gift was the person, Jesus Christ. Who gave the gift? God the Father and God the Son. Jesus Christ gave the gift. He says, you know the grace, the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who gives the gift? Jesus Christ does. So the gift is the person. Now, I want you to think about something, because listen to this. Let me read it, and then we'll look at the slide. He says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was, what? Rich, yet for your sake he became poor. We see this contrast. What does it mean he's rich? What does it mean he's poor? Well, here's what I want you to see. It deals with Jesus Christ as person. He's rich because he's who? He's God. Though he were rich, he is the eternal Son of God, always existed. He has abundance. Paul says, though he were rich, he has everything. In Colossians 1:16-17, it says, no, go ahead and stay back on that slide. All things were created by him and for him. All things were through him. All things exist because of him. He's rich. He holds everything. He holds everything together. Who owns the whole world? Who owns the universe? It's Jesus Christ. Who created everything? Jesus Christ did. Colossians 1:16 said, all things were created by him, for him, and through him. He was before all things. In him all things exist. He created it all. John 1:1, he says, all things came into being through him, and apart from him nothing has come into being. So he is the creator. He owns it all. He is rich. Look at this next one. He made everything. He owns everything. He controls everything. Is he rich? Listen, if you talk to some, look, what if in this town, one person made everything in this town, owned everything in this town, and controlled everything in this town? It would be like Mr. Potter, right? Of It's a Wonderful Life. He owned it all, right? Except for the building and loan. We would say he is what? Rich. He has it all. Now, in this passage, Paul says, you know by experience the grace of God, the grace of Jesus Christ. Though he were what? Rich. He's God. He's got everything. Right? Do you belong to God? Does this world belong to God? Do every created thing belong to God? Everything that's ever been belongs to God. And he says, yet, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he were rich, here he is, rich, for your sake, for our sake, he became what? What does it mean that God, who is rich, becomes poor? Yeah, look, what did he do? Exactly. But he just said he humbled himself to be what? Become a human being. Listen, if you're God, do you think it's a step down to become a man? I mean, let's face it, right? Well, we're not that good, right? I mean, we're okay, but we, you know, when we compare ourselves to each other, we say, oh, we're pretty good. When we really look at it, we're nothing. And then when we compare ourselves to the creator of everything, who is all-powerful and perfect and righteous and just and everything, becoming a human being is a step down for God, right? So I want you to think about it. Though he were rich, he is who? God. He became what? Poor. That means he became a person. Now, this is the Christmas story. The baby born in Bethlehem, the little baby is God. The little baby, I mean, the baby. Think about this. Jesus Christ didn't just appear one day as a 30-year-old man and say, whew, sort of like, you know, coming in Star Trek. You just come down and you're there. And all of a sudden he says, I'm here. I'm the Savior of the world. That's not what happened. The Savior of the world left the glories of heaven as the eternal God and became not a person, not a 14-year-old boy, not a 21-year-old man, not a 30-year-old man, not a 60-year-old man. He became a baby. That's pretty helpless. Wouldn't you say that's pretty helpless? So at exactly the right time, Galatians 4:4, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman. Though you know the grace of God, though we were rich, God, he became for our sakes what? Poor. He became a human being. And that's the poverty aspect. He became a human being. The baby born in Bethlehem, the one in the manger. By the way, what's a manger? feed trough. See, when I was a little boy, they'd say manger scene. I thought the manger scene was the little house and all that. I thought that was the manger. It wasn't until I was a little older that I realized that the manger is a feed trough. This will be a sign. You'll just find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a feed trough. I mean, today, would you want to put your baby in a feed trough? Oh, no, no, no. Give me some clean blankets. We don't have any clean blankets. What are we going to do? We're going to put him over here. Pretty much a step down. Wouldn't you say a step down? The eternal God becomes a person, and not just a person, he becomes a baby, and not a baby born in the most luxurious, safest place in the world. He's born in the most non-luxurious place in the world. When Mary and Joseph got to Bethlehem, because they traveled slowly, because everybody had to go there because of the decree that she was pregnant, just about to ready to have the baby, it took them a while to come, that 80, 90, 100 and something miles. And when they got to Bethlehem, every place was taken up, even in their family, whatever family they might have had down there, there was no place for them. And they actually had to stay outside in a place where they had the animals. And we would say, that's pretty much a step down for the one who is rich, who is God, to one for our sakes to become poor, to become a human being. So when we think about Jesus becoming a person, he didn't just become a person, he became a baby. John 1:14, the Word became flesh. Hebrews 2:14 says he took on flesh. Philippians 2:5 says, you know about Jesus Christ, how he emptied himself. Now, let me tell you something. I don't want us to turn there, but there is a place in Philippians 2, verse 7, says he emptied himself. Now, he was rich, and he became poor. He emptied himself. What does that mean? When Jesus Christ left heaven for all eternity as a spirit being, he becomes a human being. Now remember, when we talk about Jesus being a human being, he's still the God-man. He's still 100% God and 100% man, which there's no other being like him. Angelic beings or angels. There's the divine being, God the Father, and the Spirit. And then there's Jesus Christ, who is the eternal Son of God, but he's also a human being, which doesn't add up. And so he becomes a human being. Here's the question. What does it mean that Jesus, who left the glories of heaven, becomes a baby, becomes a human being? Three things. Some people say, does it mean? What does it mean? That he gave up being God? We already know the answer to that. We'll talk about it. That he stopped using his power, or that he veiled his deity? Well, let's think about it for a second. Let's look at the first one. He always was God. He claimed to be God. Did he? Did he not claim to be God? Did he give up being God when Jesus Christ came to the earth? Can you tell me any place where Jesus claimed to be God? Yeah, say it again. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. Before Abraham was, I am. Every I am statement that he made in the Gospel of John, I'm the bread of life, I'm the light of the world, I'm the resurrection of the righteous, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. All of those are statements proving that he's God. When they came to arrest him in the garden, and they said, he walked out and said, who are you looking for? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, what? I am. And what did they do? They fell backwards. Did he ever somehow give up being God? No, he claimed to be God. Second, what's the second part? Did he stop using his power? Did he? Did he know people's thoughts? Do you remember when they lowered a guy down through the hole in the ceiling, and they lowered him down in front of all these people, and these religious leaders are right over there, and Jesus said, wow, your faith has saved you. You're saved. And he said, your sins are forgiven. He knew exactly what these people thought, because these religious leaders said, wait a minute, he can't forgive sin, only God can forgive sin. And Jesus said, so you're thinking about whether I can forgive sin or not. And then he said, let me show you. What's easier, to say your sins are forgiven or get up and walk? Let me show you. I have the authority to forgive sins. Watch this. Get up and walk. Did he know what people thought? He knew their thoughts. You remember we looked at the story of the rich young ruler coming? And when the rich young ruler asked the question, sir, what must I do to be saved? Jesus knew exactly what he meant. We didn't know necessarily what he meant, but Jesus did by his answer. What about that he controlled nature? He did, didn't he? In the boat, the ship is going up and down. He's asleep in the back. The guys are afraid. They've been on the ship all their lives, and they're afraid, and they go back and wake him up and said, aren't you sad we're going to all go down? And he said, where's your faith? And he said, be still. It stopped immediately. He's God. He never gave up being God. What about raise the dead? How many people did he raise from the dead? Can you think of any? Oh, he raised Lazarus from the dead. That's right. Can you think of anybody else? Okay, he raised a lady. He raised a little girl, right? She was 12 years old. Can you think of anybody else that he raised from the dead? Huh? Yeah, okay. The 12-year-old girl. What about when he was going to Nain? It's a city. And as he was walking into Nain, a group was coming out with a widow, and her only son had died, which meant now she's going to be destitute. She has nobody. And as he comes in, they're coming in the city, they're coming out of the city, he stops the whole thing. Says, everybody stop, and they all stopped. And he walks over to the thing they're carrying, which has the body on it, touches it, and says, sit up. He sat up and said, there's your son. But at least three times he raised people from the dead. At least three times. He forgave sins. Only God can what? Forgive sins. So did he give up his divinity, his power while he's on the earth? No. The third thing, he veiled his deity. He walked on earth as man. He became poor, left heaven, and became a man, servant, humbled himself to death, even the death of the cross. I think the third one is, when it says he emptied himself, I think it's talking about that he veiled his deity. Let me ask you something. If we would have lived at that time, and we could have seen Jesus walking through the streets of Jerusalem, or Bethlehem, or Nazareth, or Capernaum, or by the Sea of Galilee, what would we have thought? Would we have said, oh my gosh, look at the aura coming off of this guy. Would we have thought that? What would we have said? He's just what? He's a person. Now, there's something about him, because when he talks, he teaches like nobody else has ever taught. He teaches with authority. And he does things that nobody else has ever done. I mean, we saw him raise somebody from the dead. We saw him calm the sea. We saw him change the water to wine. We've seen those things. But if you just looked at him, he looked like a Jewish man. Right? He didn't have blonde hair, most likely. Right? Some of the movies have made Jesus look just like one of us. He's Jewish. He's a Jewish man. It says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that even though he's rich, God, yet for your sakes, he became poor. That means, right there, he became poor. No, keep it on there. He left heaven, became a person, a servant. He humbled himself to be obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Now, I want you to think of this. Being born, there's two big points in everybody's life. Being born and that your birth and your death. Now, you have some birthdays along the way and get married and have kids and all that, but the two biggies are you come into the world and you brought nothing in and you're taking nothing out. So think about how Jesus was born as the Son of God. Good or bad? But I mean, as far as the world's concerned, it was poverty it wasn't in a hospital. It wasn't in a great place. You didn't have all. It wasn't great. In fact, it was bad. In fact, they just wrapped him up and put him in a feed trough, and there was all these animals around and everything else. We'd say a pretty humble birth, wouldn't you say? What about his death? It was even worse. He didn't just die. He didn't just get sick and say, you know, I'm really sick and I don't feel that good, and they died. He didn't live to be 89 years old, and they say, you just lived such a wonderful life. He didn't just say, listen, I've decided to pay for sin, and so I'm going to die physically. He didn't do that. He humbled himself to be obedient to death, even the death of the cross. He was declared to be an evil person, a person who had broken the law, a person who was a criminal, and he was crucified by the Roman government as a criminal. Is that pretty much becoming poor? From being God who is rich to becoming man who is poor. And when we say poor, we're saying he was born about in the worst place you could be born, and he died at that time about as bad as you could die. Wow. So,
think of that Christmas song, what a strange way to save the world.
What a strange way to save the world. If you were going to save the world, how would you do it? Here's what we would do, because this is what man has always done. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to come up with some rules. We're going to come up with a few things you must do. If you do these right things, you get to be with God. That's what man comes up with all the time, because what is religion? Religion is man trying to please God. So we're going to come up with our 25 things, our 3 things, our 7 things. Pray 7 times a day, do this, come do this, make this. We got all our rules. I mean, you go into this community and you say to people, what do you think a person has to do to go to heaven? They say, live a good life. You got to be good. You got to do the best you can. See, we're going to come up with the way we pick the way to get to heaven is do good. But God's way is strange, because the one who is rich, who's always existed, who is all powerful and owns everything, does everything, became poor, became one of us, and was born in the worst way and died in the worst way for us. So you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he were rich, God, yet for our sakes, your sake, he became poor. He died for us. And so the gift was grace. And that he is God who's rich, who became poor, became a human being. And as we've seen, we're not just saying became a human being. That would be enough let down from being God. But not only did he become a human being, he became a baby. And not only was he a baby, he was born in the worst possible way. And not only was he became a human being and man, he died in the worst possible way. For whose sake? Our sake. Watch. What was the purpose of the gift? Look what he says. So that. Now be careful. Whenever you read the Bible, always read it carefully. Notice, he starts off with the word for in the passage. That's an explanation. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he's fixing to explain, that though he were rich, yet for your sake he became poor. And when you see so that, he's giving you the purpose. So that, here's the purpose, that though he were rich, for our sake he became poor, so that you, that's us, through his poverty, becoming a human being and dying for us, we might what? Become rich. See, here's the idea, that through his poverty, that's his death and resurrection, the payment for sin, becoming a human being, humbling himself to be obedient to death, even the death of the cross, becoming a baby, dying, all of that, through his poverty, what? We might become rich. We're rich? We're rich? How are we rich? Notice what he says. So that you through his poverty might become rich. How are we rich? Because he became our substitute. Think about this. What are the blessings that we have? We're a child of God, right? When you believe in Jesus Christ who came, and though he were rich, he became what? Poor. And poverty is to die for us and to pay for our sin. And when we believe in him, we become rich because now we're a child of God. Is he a son of God? Say it this way, he is the Son of God, right? Are you sons of God, children of God? That's pretty rich, isn't it? You went from being a fallen human being to being a what? A child of God? He, even though through his poverty we become rich. Listen to this, we go from death to life. We were destined to be dead forever, experiencing the second death, separated from God forever. Now we got life, we got eternal life. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. He's raised us up and given us eternal life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. We've gone from death to life. There's now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We will never be separated from God in any way, shape, or form, right? If you talk to people who believe in Jesus Christ as Savior but still think they could lose it, they don't understand. There's now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, you are saved for how long? For all eternity. No condemnation. Listen, what are the other blessings? We have eternal life. Eternal life doesn't just mean existing forever, because every human being is going to exist forever. Her eternal life means having a relationship and fellowship with Jesus Christ for all eternity. It's called eternal life. What about now? Will he supply all our needs? Will he supply every need that we have? Not every want. Although, many times, he gives me wants. Does he give you your wants sometimes? And you go, I can't believe he did that. That's so great. But he always supplies every need that we have. Look what else he, look what else. The power to live. Walk in the Spirit and you'll not what? Anybody know the verse? Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh, right? Walk in the Spirit. He's giving you power to live for him, power to study the Scripture, power to do all of those things. Look at the next one, an inheritance. He's giving you an inheritance. Now, there are two kinds of inheritances in the Bible. There's an inheritance that he just gives you because you belong to him. And then there's an inheritance that you actually earn. This is the one that you just get. 1 Peter 3. He's giving you everything you need for life and godliness. He's going to give you a new body. Philippians 3, 20 and 21. We're waiting for him to come out of heaven to take us and to change, as he says, this lowly body into a glorious body like his. One day there'll be a new body that'll never wear out. That's called a resurrected body. And by the way, every human being, whether they're believers or unbelievers, are going to have resurrected bodies. Everybody's going to be raised from the dead. Those who did not believe in Jesus Christ will be raised from the dead to die forever, separated. And we who trusted in Jesus Christ will be raised from the dead to live forever with him in these new bodies. And then there's other blessings. And these are rewards. He actually says, when you serve me as a child of God, I will reward you. That's amazing. These are earned. So we, through his poverty, became what? We're rich. We are rich. We are rich. Next slide. We become rich when we take the gift of God's Son, Jesus Christ. When we believe that Jesus Christ died for us and rose again, and we're trusting in him. Remember, the gift is the person of Jesus Christ. The gift that comes through Christ is eternal life. We have life and are changed. For by grace we are saved through, not of our, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. All right, look at this. Christ, who was rich, God, became poor, a man, so that we, men who are poor, might become rich. Salvation and blessings by faith. Spurgeon said this. He stood in our place so we can stand in his. Jesus Christ came and died in our place. Listen, Jesus has paid for the sins of every human being, past, present, future, all people, believers or unbelievers. He offers a gift of what? What's the gift? Eternal life. Life forever with him. We don't have to be separated. We don't have to spend eternity separated from God. He offers the gift of eternal life that comes simply by faith. Now, if it was us coming up with the plan, it'd be by works. But it's through God, and it's through Jesus, and it's a gift, and it's by grace. We see the grace of God that he says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he's done, that though he is rich, God, for all eternity, yet for your sake, he became poor, became a human being to die for us and rise again, so that you, through his poverty, through him dying and all of this, we might become rich. So application, let's think about it. Let's remember God's gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, this Christmas. At this time of year, we think about gifts. We think about presents. I mean, almost everybody's saying, we got to get the gifts. We got to go do this. When are we going to have time to shop? When are we going to do all this? Is it going to be Black Friday? Is it going to be this day? Is it going to be something over the computer? What are we going to do? We're all thinking about gifts. But don't forget about the greatest gift of all. God loved the world. Jesus left the glories of heaven. And A, God's gift is all of grace. It's not, you can't earn it. Or else it wouldn't be a gift. He says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Translate it, you know the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not earned or deserved in any way, shape, or form. Thank God for his gift. I mean, we gathered together this morning, and what are we going to talk about in the service? We're going to talk about the birth of what? Of the gift. You know, we're going to talk about it. Look at this. B, Christ, who is God, rich, became a human being. Poor. Now, it's more than just becoming a human being. He leaves the glory of heaven to become a person born in a stable, put in a feed trough, dies on a cross as a criminal, all for us. So that, see, by faith in Christ, we have eternal life. We who were poor, dead in sin, separated from God, now we become what? Rich. Make the message clear. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, you actually have the Christmas story. It's just a little bit veiled, like John 1:14 is veiled, or Galatians 4:4 is veiled. And so we want to tell people the message.